Good morning. Please feel free to follow along in your Bibles or in your bulletins. The scripture will have a brief introduction. We are continuing in our sermon series entitled, What's There to Pray About? So far, we have heard prayers from the Old Testament, one from King David, Hannah's prayer, and last Sunday, Ezra's prayer. This Sunday, we will now begin to hear three prayers from the New Testament. The first being the prayer of the tax collector from Luke 19. This prayer of the tax collector is really a parable that Jesus told to his followers. He wanted to stress the necessity of having a simple, honest faith that was not caught in the trap of trying to meet the religious expectations of others. True faith, our Lord teaches us, does not rest upon what we feel are our showy accomplishments for the Lord, but rather it rests upon being vulnerable enough with God to rely upon His mercy given to us every single day. Even if we do fail, if we confess our weaknesses and shortcomings, God promises to have mercy upon us. In the tax collector's heart was really the confession from Psalm 51, verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. The reading today is from Luke chapter 8, verses 9 through 14. Jesus told a story to some people who were sure they were right with God. They looked down upon everyone else. He said to them, two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like the other people. I am not like robbers or those who do other evil things. I am not like those who commit adultery. I am not even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood farther away than the Pharisee. He would not even look up to heaven. He brought his hand to his heart and prayed. He said, God, have mercy on me. I am a sinner. I tell you, the tax collector went home accepted by God, but not the Pharisee. All those who lift themselves up will be made humble, and all those who make themselves humble will be lifted up. May God bless the reading of this word.
As we prepare our hearts for our morning message, let's join together in the hymn, When Love is Found, 392.
Be glad.
Thanks. You may be seated. Please pray with me. Lord, on this Mother's Day, we are so thankful that you are not only our Father, but you are the one who has given us mothers, mothers that have discipled us, mothers that have instilled faith within us, mothers that have corrected us and held us and embraced us when it seems like the world has been against us. And so we are thankful that you have given us the gift of mothers. Above all, we thank you for the prayers of our mothers. And we ask today, Lord, that we would honor their prayers, sometimes shared with us and sometimes kept in secret. We pray, Lord, that we could be all that our mothers hope for us to be, for such is the yearnings that you have placed within the hearts of mothers. And so help us, Lord, to receive their gift of love today through you. We pray and ask in your precious name. And all the children of God said, Amen. In life, as the saying goes, there are two constants, death and taxes, and we have both powerfully within this parable that Ron shared with us this morning. Another constant may be to not allow your children into the kitchen on Mother's Day. Yeah. Two kids told Mother not to cook for Mother's Day because they were going to handle it, yes? So 9 pots, 2 skillets, 4 large bowls, 11 spoons, of course, plenty of spoons to use, 5 measuring cups, and 1 whole roll of white paper towels later, Mom said, "That was the best Jell-O that I've ever had." But seriously, in between death and taxes, I believe, is something that is also very important, and it is prayer. Truly, it is not uncommon for people to become prayerful during tax season. Can I get an amen? Yes, many people on their knees during tax season. And it is not uncommon also for a mother to pray for her children. And so we are privileged to listen into the prayers of both the tax collector, which Jesus juxtapositions over against the prayer of a man who should know all about what it means to pray. So the very first blunt force trauma to those who heard Jesus' parable is that the religious guy doesn't know how to pray. Bam! What? Yes, he's got the education, the training, even the look, but he don't know how to pray. And this rubs our expectations the wrong way, because when someone has been to seminary, you know they ought to know how to pray, but not so in the instance the case of the Pharisee, not this guy. God is not listening to his prayer at all. And that's the point of prayer, isn't it? We call out to God in prayer so that our prayers might be heard. That's the purpose. In David's case, he wanted to be heard. In Hannah's case, she wanted to be heard. In Ezra's case, he wanted to be heard. And a prayer that is heard is a prayer that is answered. Now, it's all too true that the prayers are not answered often in the way that we think that they should be answered. You know, David managed to stay on the throne of Israel, but his son Absalom died in the result of that father-son conflict. Hannah was able to conceive a son, but she released her maternal claim upon Samuel so that he might serve in the temple of the Lord. And Ezra returned to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls, but he was only part of the remnant community of the nation of Israel, not the whole entire nation, they prayed. But how God chose to answer their prayers unfolded for them in unanticipated ways. Say unanticipated with me this morning. Unanticipated. That's how God works. Our role is to trust Him even when the answer was not what we anticipated or expected. And that's not easy. But even if it is difficult to have God answer our prayers in unanticipated ways, He still wants us to continue to keep on praying. Yes, as 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 16 through 18 says, rejoice always. Do what? Pray without ceasing. Give thanks to God in what? Optimal circumstances? Better than ever circumstances? No, St. Paul says, in all circumstances give thanks to God, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. When I think of the number of mothers and grandmothers and wannabe moms who have prayed through the centuries, I'm sure that many of them could attest to God answering their prayers in ways that were unanticipated or unexpected. And when I think of those mothers, grandmothers, and wannabe moms, I can tell you with 99% certainty that their prayers will not have been for themselves. Oh no, they will have been for their families. I think of a very precious woman in a community that we used to live in Boston, and her name was Nana Alice. Now, both Janet's family was back in Great Britain, and my family, well, they were in New York, and so we didn't have an attendant grandmother. And so we found Nana Alice within the congregation, and she became our adopted grandmother. She became Brittany's adopted grandmother, and she took no greater joy than those couple days a week when Nana Alice would have Brittany. And so she was a very, very special Nana for us. And I'm sure that Nana Alice lifted up prayers for us as a young clergy family and for Brittany being just a little cute toddler that she was at the time. I am also sure that both the Pharisee and the tax collector had mothers who prayed for them in some way and at some stage in their life, as mothers often do. So let's pretend for a moment to listen in to the prayers of the mothers respectively for both the Pharisee and the tax collector. And it's okay for us to be imaginative here because Jesus' parables are meant to engage our imaginations, to bring us into a greater truth about who God actually is. So how might they have prayed for their sons? Let's start with the Pharisees' mom, shall we? Dear Lord, raise up my son to a high position of influence, authority, privilege, and entitlement. Allow him to be respected within the nation of Israel. May his life always point towards your majesty and your glory. Even when he makes mistakes and fails, keep him grounded, Lord, and humble and true to the ways of your covenant law, O Lord. Was her prayer answered? And now for the tax collector's mom. Yahweh God, thank you for blessing me with a son with a good mind. You have given him a keen intellect. He can follow numbers and he calculates with ease. Thank you for allowing him to know the value of money. May he always know that generosity is greater than frugality. May his money always serve him, and may he never serve his money. Protect him always from greed and from using this gift to take advantage of others. May he always remember the poor, as your law commands, and those who suffer under the yoke of Roman oppression. Help him to be humble and close to your heart always. the tax collector's mom prays, Amen. Was her prayer answered? For each of these men, their mother's prayers moved them into a place of decision. And for the Pharisee, it was all about me, me, me. He would have fit very well into our 21st century postmodern culture very well. But unfortunately, whenever he would find opportunities to practice the humility that his mother prayed for him, he would always push that opportunity off into the distance. Time and time again, humility, you see, was his gateway to start over. And time again, contrary to his mother's prayer, he could never bring himself to step through that gateway of humility. In actual fact, humility was the approach to life that he detested the most. All this confessing and repeatedly asking for God's mercy, that's for the other guy, who's all wrapped up in his sniveling guilt. Not for me. If he had only found the value in humility, he could have led others into more of a right relationship with Jesus than his pride, which he has plenty of, and his arrogance, which he has in great amounts, ever could have. The tax collector, on the other hand, he did not alienate other people because their faith was less than. He only served to alienate people financially. Now, if you live long enough, most of us have had an experience or two where someone has hurt us financially. And usually there's an emotional scar that is left in that place. Well, that's what the tax collector did really, really well. And how did he do this? He was conscripted to collect taxes by the Romans. And everyone right off the bat hated the Romans. And he also had to collect taxes from his own people, the Jewish people, from the people that lived in the same village as he did and who drank from the same well that he did. And regretfully, Roman tax collectors were known for overtaxing individuals and families. Call it extortion, call it embezzlement, call it corruption. But all of these traits garnered the tax collector a very nasty reputation for being the most ignoble of all public servants. But something got to the tax collector. Perhaps it was his mother's prayer for him. Has the prayer of another never changed you at all? I know that I have been changed and comforted and strengthened, perhaps in some of the most difficult moments of my life, through the prayers of others that they have prayed for me. Hallelujah. And so the power of prayer reached into the tax collector's soul, and he said, you know, I just can't do this anymore. I've ripped too many people off for too long, and I can no longer live with who I am or what I have become. So rather than pushing his mother's prayer away, he draws it close and he embraces it. He owned it. What is the effect of his mother's prayer upon him? It creates within him a conviction and a deep desire to want to start life all over again. So he yearns to finally fulfill that dream of himself as someone, heaven help him, who is an honest guy. And so Luke's gospel says to us, in verse 13, meanwhile, the tax man slumped into the shadows, his face in his hands, not daring even to look up, and he said, God, give me mercy forgive me, a sinner. In the same way that the prodigal came to his senses in Luke chapter 15, so does the tax collector three chapters later in Luke 18. And who, I wonder, was listening to this parable in Luke 18? Because in Luke chapter 19, the very next chapter, it is Zacchaeus, the tax collector, who comes to his senses as Jesus walked by the sycamore tree and said, "Zacchaeus, today I'm coming to your house, brother." And he was excited about that, and he scrambled down the tree. Do you think Luke is trying to tell us something here? Do you think Luke's gospel might be trying to say to us, when we are honest with God, it is then that we can start over and not before? And what was the result? In the same way that the prodigal son is eagerly received back into the loving, waiting arms of his father, in the same way that Zacchaeus scrambles down quickly from the sycamore tree, then in verse 14, Jesus gives us this punchline about the tax collector. This tax man, and not the other guy, went home made right with God. If you walk around, Jesus says, with your nose in the air, you're going to end up flat on your face. But if you're content to simply be yourself, you will become more than yourself. So this Mother's Day, I am wondering what kind of prayers your mother prayed for you. Maybe even the kind of prayers that she never told you about. But more importantly, I'm wondering this morning, what you did with her prayers. Because that's the moment of decision. Tell your mom today that you love her, even if she is gone. Even if she lives in another city or state or country, you tell her that, "Mom, I love you." And live the life that embraces what it means to honor her and to honor, as the tax collector did, our God.